how we start off WOW every time we meet. It is so exciting to be back here at church, and it's a blessed time when I get to watch online because we know Jesus is not bound to a place, but it is really exciting to be here and to be with all of you. So happy Monday to everyone. I'm really excited because tonight we are doing our last study in Psalm 145, and it has been such an amazing journey. And I was personally blessed today because I was reading through all the things some of the ladies had learned through Psalm 145 and reflecting also on all those things that I learned in Psalm 145. And it was just kind of hard to grasp. It felt like grasping the air, not because it's not substantive, but because there was so many things to think on. So I want to start us off in prayer and welcome you again, and then we'll go ahead and start our study. So let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this opportunity, and we thank you for your word and for Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins, God. And we thank you, Lord, for who you've brought here to hear your word being taught, God. And I pray, Lord, that it would be all of you and none of us or me. And I pray, Lord, as your word goes forth, that you would minister to each woman and person's heart that tunes in, that watches, Lord, and that hears your word. I pray that you would address the very things in our hearts right now that need to be addressed, that maybe we're not even bold enough to pray, God, but we are seeking you and we need you in them, Lord. So minister to us now, Lord. We know that you are good, loving, righteous, and faithful. So we praise your holy name just as David did in this psalm. And we come before you and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I thought we'd start off Psalm 145 and in our last study, which we're covering verses 19 to 21. But before we even get through those last few verses, I am going to take the dare, not really a dare, but actually read through the entire psalm. So if you're going to bear with me, it's 21 verses, but since tonight is our conclusive study, I think it's really beautiful to see this all come together and watch David praise the Lord. So Psalm 145, if you're reading along, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. So those were 21 verses of Psalm 145. And what a blessing it is to read through that. And as we read through that, some overview and context that we got in our first lesson to kind of bring us back right to the beginning is that we know that this psalm was written by David, and he saw it as his jewel of praise. And what's really interesting is a lot of the psalms, if you see their titles, even specifically the ones written by David, are titled A Prayer of David. But this is the only psalm of David that's titled A Praise of David. So it's titled A Praise of David. So it's his last psalm. One commentator actually notes that this is the last words of David recorded in the Bible. But either way, we know it is his last psalm that he wrote. And it's interesting to think about this as we look at an overview, as we conclude this study in the last three verses, that after David lived out his entire life, this is what he had to say about the Lord. How awesome is that? We have so much to learn from that. And as I read through those verses, I was just seeing just a person who was touched by God and all the things he went through and all the highs of his life and all the lows and all the struggles and all the celebrations at the end of his life in that last song of praise to his God. He's just so excited to praise his Lord. And he says, this is the thing that's valuable. This is the thing that's important, is to praise our God. James Montgomery Boyce talks about Psalm 145, and he says, Psalm 145 is indeed a monumental praise psalm, a fit summary of all David had learned about God during a long lifetime of following hard after the Almighty. I love that. It's a praise of David to God because of who he is and what he does. It looks forward to the praise of the redeemed and restored remnant in the kingdom. So as I was coming to this last chapter, last section of this Psalm 145, as I mentioned earlier, I asked all the ladies to send all their takeaways, all the things they learned. So if you're watching on Facebook and you are with us for any of the studies, whether you were here in person or you listen to a message later, I want to encourage you on Facebook, put something that you learned out of this study. And I think that's really valuable. And I was quite overwhelmed in the best way possible at all the things the women had to share of what they learned through Psalm 145. And I'm going to share some with you, but I already told them I wasn't going to share who sent me what, so I'll keep it anonymous and just share the plenty and beauty of fruit that God brought out of this study. So here's some of the things the women learned through our Psalm 145 study. First, worship comes out of an abundance of understanding of who he is and how he is worthy. God is gracious in every work he does because he is God, perfect in righteousness with greatness unsearchable. It is important for the Lord to hear our praise and thankfulness with a worshipful heart, and not only in our quiet time, but all the day long. Praise brings him glory, another. How glorious it will be for all his saints and all of his creation to be worshiping him in harmony. Another said, this Psalm 145 is like a bouquet of God's love, a bouquet that is of utmost beauty, color, and fragrance. He is substantially more than I could ever need. In him is full and complete satisfaction. He is an abundantly generous God. Our heart changes as we praise him. God is mighty. He is worthy to meditate on. He is majestic. He is the memory of all our goodness. He holds the keys to joy and peace. We are full in him. And the last one, as his saints, believers in Christ, we have seen God work. And as a result, we have the free will to speak to bless him. We ought not to take that for granted, and we can speak the name of Jesus and bless him every day. And I loved all these takeaways. And can I just say, I had to condense and condense and condense all the ones that they sent me. And that's the best thing possible, because I was just like, wow, God, all the fruit. And this isn't glory to anything except the Lord and how the Lord honors the teaching of his word. And all glory be to him that he takes us as unrighteous sinners and redeems us through Jesus Christ, and is in his word teaches us all these things and gives us 100-fold fruit. And I just encourage you, ladies, that if you're looking for that 100-fold fruit, it's right here. It's right here in our Bible. And I love that. And as I was meditating on all these things that we all learned in Psalm 145, I noticed that there was one common thread. I'm a teacher, and I always ask my students, what's the narrative thread? Like, what's the thing that goes through all of the lines, all of the paragraphs, all the sentences? And of course, we know in the Bible it's Jesus Christ. But I was just thinking that in all of these things that we learned, in all of the fruit God brought out of this study, the thing, the biblical thread, I like that better, that we all have in common is the fact that we learned the nature of God more. We all learned who God is just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And I want to encourage all of the ladies listening that that is the key to life, is knowing God more. That is the key to our circumstances, whether high or low, is knowing who your God is. One of my really good friends who actually led me and shared the gospel with me and led me to the Lord, I remember she would always say, "How big is your God?" And I love that. I love that. And I always think of that. And she would say, "How big is your God?" And you know, my God is really, really big. And I can't even measure how big he is and how he is everywhere in everything and just so intimate and close. And I just love this sweet reflection of King David sharing his walk with God. A prominent thing we learned about the prophet Enoch in the Old Testament that we see in the New Testament, all it was is that he walked with God. That was the most prominent thing that God had to say about him, that he walked with God, right? God sees your daily walk. And at the end of his walk with God, David is just so in awe of who God is, no matter what he went through. And I love that. So understanding God is the key, right? Reading and studying the word makes us grow in understanding who God is. So Satan, the enemy, is always attacking the nature of God. So first, right, we see this in Genesis chapter 3, in the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, right? Eve is having this conversation with the enemy, and all the enemy is telling her is, did God really say? Did he really say, right? Creating that seed of doubt. And ultimately what he was doing is trying to give her another impression, a false impression of who God was, that he wasn't good, that he was withholding from her. And we know that's not true. Another example in the Bible that we have is Naomi in the book of Ruth. I want to read to you a section from the beginning of the book of Ruth and at the end of the book of Ruth. And you can see side by side how she saw God in both and how she grew in her understanding of God. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them." So the story goes is that there was a famine in the land, and Naomi and her family moved to Moab, which God called his washpot. That's not a really good place to go, even if there is a famine in the land. God told them, don't leave, right? Stay under, and I will work through you. But they went to the land called washpot, aka Moab. And when they were there, right, they went through some trials and some hardness. So Naomi decided to go back. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, who was widowed, went back with her. So we're reading that section as they go back in and enter into Israel. They're all greeting this woman who was familiar and remembered who she was. And it's they say, the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So she, again, was getting attacked on her understanding and the character of who God was. And this was not true. I'd like to also note that Naomi and her family made their own decision against the will of God to go to Moab. God had clearly said, "Don't flee. Don't go anywhere else. Stay under," right? So they made a poor decision to go to Moab. It didn't turn out well. And now she was bitter at God and saying, "God has afflicted me. It's all his fault," right? And ladies, I think we all have been there, right? We all have been there. We're like, you make a bad choice and you go through with it. It doesn't turn out well. And you're sitting there and you're like, "God has afflicted me. He brought this ball and chain upon me," right? But the cool thing is, the amazing thing, the sweet thing is that God is never far away from you. And in any moment, right, that we turn to him, that we repent, right, he will work through the situation. He will work and use the situation, and he will minister to you great and mighty things which we do not know. So we want to go now forward at the end of the book of Ruth in verses 14 and 17. It says, "Then the woman said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi,' and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." That's who her God was. Her God, right, used this terrible circumstance, used a poor choice that her and her family made, right, out of just maybe fear or whatever the situation was, and made her a relative to King David. That's who her God was. And that's who God is to us today, right? He is amazing, to say the least. We also see the temptation, right, and of Jesus in the desert, in the wilderness, right? In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, "Again, the devil took him," speaking of Jesus, "to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.'" And what the enemy was doing, right, to Jesus is he was trying to circumvent the will of the Father, right, the plan of the Father. And Jesus responds very clearly to the enemy and says, "It is written." And that was his response. Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" So in Jesus, we see the remedy, the antidote, the response to this concern of constantly being attacked on who God is, the nature of God, the goodness of God. So the question we have today is, have you, have I, have we misjudged God? Have we misjudged God? So maybe you're thinking, no, I know God is love. I know Jesus died on the cross for me. And you're a Christian, right? Maybe that's the thing. So another question is there a circumstance in your life that you're misjudging him in specifically? If you think God is withholding anything good from you, then you're misjudging God. So what do we see in the last three verses of David as he's writing Psalm 145? We see this about the nature of God. We see that he is loving and righteous. We see that he is loving and righteous. So really weighty words. And again, the last verse of Psalm 145 is the last word we have from David in the Bible, one commentator states. It is his last will and testament. If he had said nothing else in his life, these words would be a fine legacy for future generations. In it, he praises God and invites others to praise God also. And I love that, right? And I'm going to read those last three verses again because I think it's so important. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his name forever and ever. And I read that again because I think that sums up in those two words, right? God is loving in righteousness. So whatever the situation we're fretting about, we're anxious about, we're uncertain about, we don't know what the next move is and how this is all going to work, we know that God is loving and righteous. And that is going to be constantly attacked, right? Because we saw those examples. And there's time after time of the Bible scenarios that we watch the nature and character of God get attacked, right? But we have the word. We have that example of Jesus to say, it is written. It is written. And it's not true. I always pray in everything that I do, I pray that God would give me a promise about it. And a verse to pray over, to stand on and say, it is written. And a lot of the times I'll go through a circumstance and I'll forget, right? So when I'm teaching, right, I have the scripture from Malachi, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly, right? And I always forget about it until I get into a situation where I'm like, okay, I don't know what to do here, Lord. You need to tell me. And he always takes me back to that promise he gave me. Okay, do justly, love mercy, walk humbly. Okay, I can apply that. I can ask you for wisdom on how to apply that. So that's a practical way we can do that, right? Just like Jesus did. It is written. This is what you said. This is what you've given me. And I think we can sum up all of God's loving and righteous nature just on the cross, on Jesus, in and of himself, because it says that he, with the joy set before him, went to the cross to die for your sins. And nothing is more loving and righteous than that moment right there. And everything in the Bible is either looking up to that moment or looking back to that moment, and actually in all of history and time. 1 John 1:9 says, if we should confess our sins, he is faithful and just that he may forgive us of our sins. And then we see in three references in the Bible. So we see this in Romans 14:11, Philippians 2:10, and Isaiah 45:23, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess. And that's kind of like the last verse that David is sharing with us. And really, it all comes down to this, right? We have this time now that God is calling the lost to him. He went to the cross to die for your sins, right? We were sinners. And I can remember a time, not in a condemnation kind of way, but I remember a time where I mocked the things of God. I didn't take the things of God seriously growing up. And it was God who reached out to me and softened my heart and gave me a new heart as I asked him in truth, as David is saying here, to forgive me of my sins. And I believe that's what God has for us today, right? Wherever you're at, right? If you're not a Christian, to turn to Jesus Christ, to turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe that you are perfect, that you are God, that you came to this earth and humbled yourself, right? And you set aside your deity and you went to the cross with joy and you died on the cross. You took that punishment that was meant for me, that was meant for my sins, that I sinned against God, right? And a lot of the times people think, well, I'm not that bad. Right? I'm a good person. Well, what are we comparing ourselves to? And my pastor in California would always say, we're always clever enough to compare ourselves to someone who's just a little bit worse than us, right? And that's not the standard. They are not the standard. We are not the standard. God, who is holy and perfect and is sinless, right, and is all glorious, right, he is the standard. So compare yourself to him, and it wouldn't take a long time to understand we need your forgiveness. We need his forgiveness, right? And the best thing about the Lord is that he is ready and willing and desiring that no one should perish, that they should be forgiven, because he's already done that redeeming work. So you don't have to feel guilty or ashamed or walk away from him, whether you're not a Christian and you don't know Jesus personally, or whether you are a Christian and there's something in your life that you're ashamed about, that you know you shouldn't have done, that you know it doesn't honor God, right? God is never more than one step away from just saying, Lord, I'm really sorry, and I plead the blood of the perfect Lamb, Jesus Christ, over this issue, and come to him sincerely and ask for forgiveness. He is faithful and just to forgive us, the Bible says. The Bible also says that God cannot lie, so he is faithful and just to forgive you, and these words shall not come back void. So as we're summing up here, right, I'm thinking on in coming together, right, we study his word to know him more, right? If you haven't studied his word, the best time to start is now. In knowing him more, we are confident in him. David sang this praise to God after many years of walking with God. In these last verses of David's final psalm, we see God is loving and righteous, and we see this in hindsight through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for saving me, a sinner, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for saving us, sinners, Lord. And we thank you that you reach out to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would draw hearts near to you, and that there would be tenderness and nearness, and that the enemy would not divide anyone, Lord, from you in condemnation or guilt, Lord, but there would be an openness, a truth, a repentance, Lord, in all of our lives, and that we would surrender those things to you that we don't know what to do with, that we would come to you with them. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we just praise you as David did, and say this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello. I just, well, first off, that was awesome. It's fun to stand here with you. But isn't it fun that the last thing that David said, he was so enthusiastic and excited, and then we have the epitome of enthusiastic and excited sharing David's words of enthusiasm and excitement, which is God is loving and righteous. And I'm just so glad that as we end this psalm, that we get to do this together, and that what she said is that biblical thread and knowing the nature of God more. And I was thinking how we got to be united in knowing the nature of God more, and that was a huge takeaway for me. So a few things, announcement is the next 2 weeks, we're going to have our spring fling. So that's our WOW Bible study, and we're going to send you more information out about that. But mostly what we want you to do is look at Luke 8:40 through verses 56, and we want you to look at Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. So there are your hints of basically God touching both of those people, Jesus touching both of those people. Right now you can go on Zoom. We're going to gather together on Zoom. And the ID is 816-7755-5947. And also, in case you miss us on Zoom, I want you to know that you can catch us. You could always send prayer requests through ccfmwomen@gmail.com. You could find us on Facebook. I feel like I'm doing a commercial. On WOW, Calvary Chapel Flower Mound /women. And you could also find us on Instagram at ccfmwomen. So head on out to Zoom.